Testing in the House Chamber, Legislative Day 25.
To order, members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. Members and visitors will please silence all electronic devices. The prayer today will be offered by Representative Arp. Members and visitors in the gallery will please stand and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Arp.
If you'd like to join me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pause a moment in our busy day to acknowledge you as creator and sustainer of our life. We thank you for the privilege that you've given each of us to serve your fellow man. Thank you for those who every day put their lives in harm's way, from our military to our law enforcement to EMS and firefighters. Lord, we thank you because we've seen first the picture of sacrifice from you. Today we'll honor a man who has given his life to sacrifice and service, as you've called each of us to do. And Lord, as we pause to reflect of giving your life for others, we thank you for the privilege that we can share a bit of your character as we love others selflessly and live a life in devotion to others, so that when we are through, you will say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Lord, that is our single greatest desire. And that knowing a life lived in service to others is a life well lived. For it is in your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative Lewis is recognized.
Madam Speaker, the journal for March 11th has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Lewis moves that the journal for March 11th be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. The ayes have it, and the journal is approved as written. Members, I'd like you to help me today recognize our nurse of the day, Ms. Ann Newman from Charlotte, North Carolina. Ms. Newman, thank you for joining us. And members, let's welcome her. Committee reports. The clerk will read.
Representatives Murphy, Dobson, Lambert, Potts, and White, Health Committee report. House Bill 133, Veterans Health Care Pilot Program, favorable and re-referred to Appropriations, Health, and Human Services.
Bills re-referred to Appropriations on Health and Human Services.
Representatives Hurley and Sauls, Education Community College Committee report. House Bill 128, High Achievement Tuition Scholarship, favorable and re-referred to Appropriations Education.
Re-referred to Appropriations on Education.
Representatives Torbett, Eiler, Presnell, and Shepard, Transportation Committee report. House Bill 206, DOT Legislative Changes, favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 131, Repeal MAP Act, favorable, committee substitute, unfavorable, original bill, and referred to Judiciary.
The original bill to the unfavorable calendar, the committee substitute, referred to Judiciary.
House Bill 144, Hands-Free NC, favorable, committee substitute, unfavorable, original bill, and referred to Insurance.
The original bill, the unfavorable calendar, the committee substitute, is referred to Insurance.
House Bill 211, various DMV changes, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable original bill, and referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
Original bill, unfavorable calendar, committee substitute, Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Special messages from the Senate. Clerk will read.
Senate Joint Resolution 216, a joint resolution honoring the life and memory of Walter B. Jones, Jr., former member of the General Assembly.
Calendared, and without objection, calendared for today. Members, we're getting ready to take a memorial resolution. The doors will be locked. All members are expected to be in their seat and remain in their seat. Senate Joint Resolution 216. The clerk will read.
Senators Brown, Davis, and Sanderson. Senate Joint Resolution 216, a joint resolution honoring the life and memory of Walter B. Jones, Jr., former member of the General Assembly. The Senate resolved, the House concurring.
For what purpose does the lady from Carteret, Representative McElrath, rise?
To request that the resolution be read in its entirety.
Clerk will read the entire resolution.
A joint resolution honoring the life and memory of Walter B. Jones, Jr., former member of the General Assembly. Whereas Walter B. Jones, Jr. was born on February 10, 1943 in Farmville, North Carolina, to Walter B. Jones, Sr. and Doris Long Jones. And whereas Walter B. Jones, Jr. graduated from Hargrave Military Academy in Chatham, Virginia in 1961 and earned a bachelor's degree from Atlantic Christian College, now Barton College, in Wilson, North Carolina in 1966. And whereas Walter B. Jones, Jr. served in the National Guard from 1967 to 1971, and after which time began a career in business. And whereas Walter B. Jones, Jr. was an outstanding public servant throughout his life, having rendered distinguished service as a member of the North Carolina House of Representatives from 1983 to 1992, serving as chair of the Human Resources Committee and as a member of the Appropriations, Ethics, and Local Government Committees. And whereas in 1995, Walter B. Jones, Jr. was elected to the United States House of Representatives, following in the footsteps of his father, who served in Congress until his death in 1992. And whereas Walter B. Jones, Jr. represented the citizens of the 3rd District with honor and distinction for 12 consecutive terms until 2019, and during that time actively supported military as a member of the Armed Services Committee. And whereas Congressman Jones was a passionate defender of the wild horses of North Carolina's Outer Banks, his legislation, the Shackelford Bank Wild Horse Protection Act, was passed into law in 1998 and stands as a national model for bringing the public and private sector together to save America's wildlife. And whereas Walter B. Jones, Jr. served his community and state in many capacities, including as director of Pitt County Mental Health Association and as a member of the North Carolina Library Committee, Consumer and Advocacy Advisory Committee for the Blind, North Carolina Council for Hearing Impaired, Governor's Advocacy Council for Youth and Children, and the Foundation Board of Eastern North Carolina Vocational Center. And whereas Walter B. Jones, Jr. was a devout member of the Catholic faith, and whereas Walter B. Jones, Jr. was well known for his integrity and respect, admired and loved by those who knew him and had the privilege to work with him, and whereas Walter B. Jones, Jr. died on February 10, 2019, at the age of 76, and whereas Walter B. Jones, Jr. was a beloved husband to his wife for 53 years, Joanne Whitehurst Jones, and a devoted father to his daughter, Ashley Elizabeth, now therefore be it resolved by the Senate and the House of Representatives concurring. Section 1. The General Assembly honors the memory of Walter B. Jones, Jr. and expresses his appreciation and admiration for his life of service to the people of Eastern North Carolina, the state of North Carolina, and the United States. Section 2. The General Assembly extends the deepest sympathy to the family of Walter B. Jones, Jr. for the loss of a beloved family member. Section 3. The Secretary of State shall transmit a certified copy of this resolution to the family of Walter B. Jones, Jr. Section 4. This resolution is effective upon ratification.
The lady from Carteret, Representative McElrath, is recognized to speak on the resolution.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Congressman Walter Jones had his priorities straight. It was God, family, and country. And by country, I mean, I have never seen anyone in politics that paid so much attention to their constituents, especially our veterans. He was compassionate. He responded to everyone who came to see him, to every call that he had. Our office would send someone who needed a passport, needed it the next day, and Congressman Jones would find a way to make sure he got that for them. He was beloved by all. When he would come to speak at our memorial services, he would speak, and at the end he would say, "Please God, please God, please God." He looked to God for all of his passion and for all of his what he did in life. That was his priority. If you went to the service, you would see that. You would have heard from all the people that knew him, from his church, from friends from faraway places. But one that really struck me really tells you about how Walter Jones was for our veterans and how he was for making sure that that wrongs were righted. And I think you probably remember or heard of the Osprey pilots. They were Major Gruber and Lieutenant Colonel Rao. They were killed in an Osprey with 17 Marines in 2000. They were blamed for that accident. The two pilots, they said pilot error. In 2002, Connie Gruber, Major Gruber's wife, came to Congressman Jones, asked him if he would take up her mission to try to clear their names. He had over 150 speeches on the House floor, trying to get people to listen to him to say, it's the Osprey, it was the issue with the Osprey, not the pilot error. And not until 2016, 14 years later, did they clear those two pilots' names. It was not their fault. That's the kind of man he was. He didn't give up. He made sure that wrongs were righted. And Mrs. Gruber was at the service, and she spoke passionately about how he had treated their family. He does that to all of our veterans. There's not a veteran that goes to Congressman Jones or went to Congressman Jones for anything that he didn't try to help them with. He helped them get services in the different counties. He helped them get anything that they needed as far as their medical to try to get their disabilities. He was a man of the people and a man for veterans. God bless Congressman Jones and his family. Thank you.
For what purpose does Representative from Guilford, Representative Harrison, rise?
To speak to the resolution.
You have the floor to speak on the resolution.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and ladies and gentlemen of the House. I regret that I didn't have the opportunity to serve with Representative Jones in this body, but I do believe I was his constituent for a couple of years. But more recently, I paid multiple visits to his congressional office on my various environmental crusades, including offshore drilling, climate change, better management of coal ash, and protecting us from toxic chemicals. And I always appreciated Congressman Jones's cordiality and graciousness and his staff and super thoughtful and really willing to listen. And I just really feel like his lack of partisanship on so many issues of importance to the public was very evident. And I especially appreciated his commitment to good government and transparency. And I think we could use a little bit more of that up in Washington. And I just wanted to thank the Jones family for his decades of service. Well, his and your father and grandfather's decades of service to the state. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Wilson, Representative Farmer Butterfield, rise?
To speak to the resolution.
You have the floor.
Walter Beeman Jones, Jr. strongly believed in the strength of family and faith and worked diligently to represent the citizens of Eastern North Carolina. I actually met his parents, Doris Long Jones and Walter Sr., years before I met Walter Jr. We used to get together at a spring fling in Wilson every year. It was no surprise when I met North Carolina Representative Walter B. Jones Jr. that he was following his father's footsteps as a public servant. For a number of years, he was my congressman, and every time I contacted him as a state representative and a U.S. congressman about human resources, now referred to as health and human service needs and concerns, he always responded positively, except once. Colleagues, that decline one time later proved to be the right answer. Walter B. Jones Jr. was a strong advocate for children and youth, the hearing impaired, for mental health, vocational education, senior citizens, and veterans. He committed himself to providing tax relief for American families, retirement security for our nation's seniors, a strong national defense, and a quality education for every child. Congressman Jones was a leader in fighting for the U.S. trade deficit and leveling the playing field for American workers, as well as curbing special interests in the election process. He concentrated on safeguarding the well-being of the nation's veterans and active service members. He was instrumental in ensuring treatment for returning troops suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injuries. Congressman Jones was also created and instrumental and committed to preserving and protecting the North Carolina's unique history and culture. Walter B. Jones, Jr. fought an effective common sense government that returned power and control to the people. This dedication and effort earned him respect of his colleagues on both sides of the aisle. He loved his family, his dog, the state of North Carolina, and the United States of America. He served with honor and integrity. I commend the resolution to you, and may God bless the family. Thank you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from White, Representative Martin, rise?
To debate the resolution.
You have the floor to speak on the resolution.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. Members, Congressman Walter Jones was a rare politician. A politician who made decisions at a time where so many of us make decisions based on political expediency. Congressman Jones, when he was a Democrat, didn't make decisions based on what was best for the Democratic Party. And when he became a Republican, he didn't make decisions based on what was best for the Republican Party. He made his decisions based on what he thought was best for the people of North Carolina and for the United States. There's another reason that Congressman Jones was a rare politician. He also had the ability to admit when he was wrong. He came to believe that his vote on the Iraq War had been a mistake. And I don't know if it was for his own personal atonement or other reasons, but that led him to write the family members and loved ones of every American service member killed in Iraq or Afghanistan. Congressman Jones wrote over 12,000 letters and sent them. I can only imagine the comfort that those letters gave the families, and I can only imagine the emotional toll that would take on Congressman Jones. But letter after letter, he still wrote them. In the end, the families of North Carolina's veterans and service members have no greater champion than Congressman Walter Jones. So as a veteran, as a politician, as a North Carolinian and American, I give thanks for the life, the service, and the commitment of Congressman Walter Jones. I commend the resolution to you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Cabarrus, Representative Pittman, rise?
Speak on the resolution.
You have the floor to speak on the resolution.
Thank you. My stepfather, Bump Umphrey, was postmaster in Farmville and was very good friends with Walter Jones Sr. and told me he watched Walter Jr. grow up from the time he was a little kid. And he told me about what a respectful and good-hearted and good kid Walter Jr. was, and what a fine young man he grew to be, and what a fine mature man he still believed he was. And when I met Walter Jones Jr., I found that to be true of him. This was an important man, and this was back before I ever thought about ever running for office. I had no idea I'd ever be here. And I was speaking to an important man, but guess what? He didn't act like he thought so, like some people in office do. He treated me like I was somebody important, though he'd never met me before. Of course, he liked knowing that Bump was my stepfather, but we had a good talk. And I met him a couple other times, and it was the same way. Because Walter Jones cared about the people of this state and this nation, so that what was important to him about where he was that he got to serve us. That's what mattered to him. For the sake of God and family, this state and our country, that's what mattered to him. And I'm proud that we're honoring him today. I just wish we could have done it when he was here. Thank you.
For what purpose does the lady from Davie, Representative Howard, rise?
To speak to the resolution.
You have the floor to speak to the resolution.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I believe that I may be the only member, maybe one of two members, that had the opportunity and the privilege to serve in this chamber with Walter Jones. And I will tell you that he was a friend to everybody and truly a gentleman. He always voted his conscience, regardless if he was a member of the minority party or the majority party. He always voted what he felt was right. And one of the things that, well, many of the things have already been said by some of my colleagues, he was a devout Christian, and would show that when he was speaking or when he was on the floor of the House. He wasn't hiding his faith and his belief, and I think that speaks volumes for him. But one of the funny things that I remember, and I hope I'm getting this right, that when the French refused to join the U.S. in the fight against terrorism, Walter refused to eat any more French fries. And he coined the term freedom fries instead of French fries. And that was just part of his humor and a way that he expressed his concern about what was happening with the French. But I will say that he was one of the good people that served in this chamber, and he always had time to stop and talk to you and help you, because he was a senior member when I definitely was a freshman member. And but I will just tell you that if there were more Walter Joneses in this chamber today, ladies and gentlemen, it would be a kinder and gentler place. And I hope that I can be the person that I think that he would be if he was still here. And I commend the resolution to you.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon, arise?
To debate the resolution.
You have the floor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members and colleagues, Congressman Walter Jones is a gentle man. I say is because I knew Congressman Jones well enough to know that he understood and believed that in the gospel of Jesus Christ, death is a comma, not a period. Congressman Walter Jones had the unique ability to be gentle and firm at the same time, a rare quality. So I commend the resolution to this wonderful family for this wonderful man who is indeed a gentle man.
Members, the question before the House is the passage of Senate Joint Resolution 216 on its second reading. Those who favor the resolution will vote aye. Those who Opposed shall vote no. Clerk shall open the vote. Clerk will lock and record the vote. 102 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. The Senate Joint Resolution 216 passes its second reading and will, without objection, be read a third time.
The Senate resolved, House concurring.
Question before the House is the passage of Senate Joint Resolution 216 on its third reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Clerk will lock and record the vote. 102 having voted in the affirmative and none in the negative. Senate Joint Resolution passed its third reading and will be ordered enrolled. Members of the House, upon the motion of Representative Pat McElrath of Carteret County, the chair is happy to extend courtesies of the gallery. I would ask that you stand as I call your name. The family and friends of the late Congressman Walter Jones are with us today. We have Congressman Jones' wife, Joanne. Joanne, if you'd stand, we'll be happy to welcome you. His daughter, Ashley. They're joined by family friends, Valerie and Mark Yoff, Megan Fountain, Robert Whitehurst, Kate Skinner, Bob Lody, William Moore, Catherine Fedor, and Amy Off. Thank you for being with us today and allowing us honor. Members, we're going to take this time now to introduce the pages. The pages will come forward. We're going to leave a lot of the rest of the committee reports and reading in of bills to administrative time afterwards, and at this point we will recognize our pages. We have a short staff this week. The clerk will read the names, and if you will step forward and give a wave as your name is called so we can recognize who you are. Members, if you give some respect to the pages, please.
Maura Kelly, Orange County. Sponsors, Speaker Tim Moore. Javon Lau, Wake County. Sponsor, Speaker Tim Moore. Jabria Savage,
yes.
Edgecombe County, sponsor, Speaker Tim Moore. Katie Savelle, Wake County, sponsor, Speaker Tim Moore.
And members, stand with me to welcome our pages, and I want you to know that all of them are Girl Scouts this week. Pages, you may return to your post. Notices and announcements. For what purpose does the gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon, arise?
For an announcement.
You have the floor for an announcement.
Members of the Capitol Commission Bible Study will meet tomorrow morning at 7:35 a.m. in the conference room 301F in the LOB, which is the conference room adjacent to the Majority Leader John Bell's office, 7:30 a.m. in the morning.
For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Von Hoffman, arise?
To speak to a point of personal privilege.
You have the floor for a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Madam Chair. 107 years ago today, the first Girl Scout meeting was held in Savannah, Georgia with 18 girls. Today's Girl Scout serves close to 2.5 million girls, and there are 50 million Girl Scout alums nationwide. One out of every two women living in the United States was a Girl Scout. Girl Scouts has been significant in preparing girls to lead in public service. 58% of the U.S. House, 72% of the women in the U.S. Senate, and half of female governors in our country were Girl Scouts. Here in the General Assembly, we have more than 14 Girl Scout alums. Although Girl Scouting has evolved since 1912, the fundamental experience of being part of the Girl Scout organization connects generation of women and women leaders. As a former Girl Scout, a Girl Scout leader, and a mom of a Girl Scout, I applaud and honor the Girl Scout councils in North Carolina who are here today for building girls of courage, confidence, and character who make our state a better place. Thank you.
Members, upon motion of Representative Van Hoffman from Wake County, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to some Girl Scouts who are with us today. If you would stand as your name or your troop is called, we'd love to recognize you. The Girl Scouts of North Carolina, the Coastal Plains, the Girl Scouts of the Colonial Coast, the Girl Scout Peaks to Piedmont, and their representatives Lisa Jones, Tracy Keller, and Shanika Thomas. Thank you for joining us today, members. Welcome.
Madam Speaker, pro tem.
Just a moment. The pages are dismissed for the day. Thank you. For what purpose is the lady from Mecklenburg, Representative Carney Rouse?
An inquiry of the chair.
You have the floor for an inquiry.
I think that there are several other women that might like to speak to this same personal point of personal privilege.
And I do have several of them listed. And are
okay.
You one of them?
I am.
All right. You have the floor to speak on the Girl Scout resolution.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Of course, best laid plans of getting text messages pulled up in a timely manner. I stand here as a former scout leader and a mom of two incredibly grown women that were scouts. I also have several grandchildren that are in scouts, and I have a text message that I wanted to read from my daughter-in-law, who is the scout leader for two of my grandchildren. And I'm sorry that this gallery is not packed tonight, this afternoon rather, with people here honoring the Girl Scouts. We've done that here for the Boy Scouts, and we need to have that same emphasis placed on Girl Scouting in the state. I'm sorry that the chamber, all our members are not here, because we weren't voting. But I want to read to you what my daughter-in-law sent to me about 30 minutes ago. She's an incredible scout leader and has received several awards in Franklin, Tennessee, and so have my granddaughters. She says, although I know there are many wonderful organizations, churches, nonprofits out there that do great things, but I love what the Girl Scouts Law and Promise tries to instill in all girls. Each meeting, or outing is usually focused on one of the many important aspects of the Girl Scout law. As volunteers and leaders, we try to make it fun and memorable for the girls to learn what it means to be a Girl Scout, and at the same time instilling in them what it means to them. My older daughter is now in the process of going through training in the PA program, which will train her to become a helper to our leaders and help guide and mentor younger girls in our day camp that we host every year. There are not many other opportunities for a girl her age, sixth grader, to be given a chance to lead and help. And the fact that she and several of her friends are excited about it, what it speaks to her and those young women, but scouting has instilled that in them. So she asked that I repeat to you all the Girl Scout law. And listen to these words. These are what these young women learn and they live. I will do my best to be honest and fair, friendly and helpful, considerate and caring, courageous and strong, and responsible for what I say and do, and to respect myself and others, respect authority, use resources wisely, make the world a better place, and be a sister to every Girl Scout. And again, she asked the Girl Scout promise. In my honor, I will try to serve God and my country, to help people at all times, and to live by the Girl Scout law. We can't ask for a better organization. There are many, as my daughter-in-law said, but this one has gone far and above beyond what these young women need to learn and know. So I thank you, and I ask all of you to support Girl Scouting.
For what purpose does the lady from Buncombe, Representative Fisher, rise?
To speak to a point of personal privilege.
You have the floor for a point of personal privilege.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I, too, would like to speak on this, the anniversary of the birthday of Girl Scouting in the United States. We know that today is the 107th anniversary of the Girl Scouts in the U.S., the largest and most successful leadership program for girls in the world. And you're going to hear later, if you stay or if you tune in later, you will hear a representative statement about the Girl Scouts. And that's top of the list on that representative statement. But what I wanted to recall to you is the fact that Juliet McGill Kinsey Gordon was born 158 years ago on October 31st, 1860. Her childhood was marked by the American Civil War, and her father went away to fight for the Confederacy, and her mother's family in Illinois fought for the Union. Robert Baden Powell, founder of the Boy Scouts, suggested later in her life, after she had lost her husband, that she work with the Girl Guides in England and Scotland. The Boy Scouts was the sister group. The Boy Scouts was founded first and is the group that is related to the Girl Scouts here in the U.S. And in 1912, Daisy, as she was called, which also, by the way, is the youngest group of Scouts that you will find in the U.S., it's Daisy and Brownie and then Junior and Cadet and what's next? Right. And so Daisies are the youngest. Daisy was what she was called. And she called her cousin Nina and said, I've got something for the girls of Savannah, which is where she was from, and all of America and all the world, and we're going to start it tonight. And this was the first gathering of 18 girls on March 12th, 1912, 107 years ago today. She broke the conventions of her time, reaching across class, culture, and ethnic boundaries to ensure that all girls, including those with so-called disabilities, had a place to grow and develop their leadership. So she was so much ahead of her time. Daisy is remembered today with camps and schools and scholarships established in her honor. And other tributes have included postage stamps, a World War II battleship, numerous biographies, and even an opera about her life. First ladies who were Girl Scouts: Laura Bush, Hillary Clinton, Patricia Nixon, Nancy Reagan, Michelle Obama. And other officials that were Girl Scouts include U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth, former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, and Representative Susan Fisher of Buncombe County. You're going to hear this representative statement later, but one whereas that I would like to add to it is that Juliet Lowe began the group that would become the Girl Scouts and died of breast cancer at age 67. So much of her important work happened and was accomplished in the last 15 years of her life. What a powerful legacy. And I'm out of time, I'm sure.
You are.
You're such a good timekeeper, Speaker Pro Tem. And I do commend the representative statement to you, and I thank you for your patience while I
talk on. Thank you. For what purpose does the lady from Wilson, Representative Farmer Butterfield, rise?
To speak to the anniversary of the Girl Scouts.
You have the floor to speak to the anniversary.
Thank you.
For a time not to exceed 3 minutes.
Thank you. I am blessed and honored to be one of the 50 million women worldwide who are alumnus of this great organization, the Girl Scouts of America. In fact, I was a troop leader many years ago and had 2 daughters who were Girl Scouts. As a young girl, being a Girl Scout was a large part of who I was and helped shape me into the person that I am today. It allows young girls to join an extracurricular organization that is rooted in positivity and build connections that will last a lifetime. Since the inception of the organization, the Girl Scouts have combined time-tested, research-backed methods with exciting modern programming that speak to today's girls and is designed to cater to the strength of girls' leadership development. Thank you.
Messages from the Senate. The clerk will read.
Senate resolution, a bill to be entitled an act to delay the implementation of the regulatory requirements of SL 2018-144 in order to ensure the efficient administration of unexpected special elections.
Rules. For what purpose is the gentleman from Pitt, Representative Murphy, arise?
Committee announcement.
You have the floor for an announcement.
Ladies and gentlemen, those who are members of the Appropriations Health and Human Services Joint Committee tomorrow will be meeting promptly at 8:30 tomorrow to discuss the Governor's Health and Human Services budget. I ask that you please be in attendance and on time.
For what purpose is the gentleman from Macon, Representative Corbin, rise?
For an announcement.
You have the floor for an announcement.
Members of the Committee for State and Local Government will meet tomorrow at 10 a.m., and we have a rather busy day. We have 9 bills to take up, so we'll begin promptly at 10 a.m. in room 544, state and local. Thank you.
For what purpose is the gentleman from New Hanover, Representative Davis, rise?
For an announcement.
You have the floor for an announcement.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, the Judiciary Committee will meet tomorrow morning, 10 o'clock, in room 1228 at the Legislative Building. And after tomorrow, hopefully for all future meetings, we'll be in room 544 at the LOB. But there's 6 bills to be heard, and they're all listed on your House calendar. Thank you.
What purpose does the lady from New Hanover, Representative Grange, rise?
For an announcement.
You have the floor for an announcement.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow the Elections and Ethics Law Committee will be meeting at 1 p.m. in room 1228.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Alamance, Representative Ross, rise?
An announcement.
You have the floor for an announcement.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, the House Commerce Committee will meet in room 423. We'll take up 4 bills.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Iredell, Representative Fraley, rise?
For an announcement.
You have the floor for an announcement.
The Joint Education Appropriations Committee will meet in the morning at 8:30 in room 423.
For what purpose does the gentleman from Catawba, Representative Setzer, rise?
To make an announcement.
You have the floor for announcement.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Speaker. Members of the House Finance Committee will meet in the morning at 8:30 in our usual room.
The gentleman from Harnett, Representative Lewis, is recognized for an announcement.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House will meet 15 minutes after the adjournment of the session today. We will be considering Senate Bill 214. Short title is Ensure Orderly 2019 Elections, and also House Joint Resolution 254, Confirm Ken Goodman Industrial Commission.
Further notices and announcements? Seeing none, Representative Lewis is recognized.
Madam Speaker, I move that the House adjourn to reconvene on Wednesday, March 13th at 2 o'clock p.m., subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Lewis's moves, seconded by Representative Hoenig and his shoes, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Wednesday, March 13th at 2 o'clock,
subject to the standard stipulations set forth in Rule 15.1 and the reading of conference reports and committee reports and referral of bills and resolutions. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. The ayes have it, and the House stands adjourned. You should see who she is. You got her.
For the record, the last Senate message, Senate Bill 214, a bill to be entitled an act to delay the implementation of the regulatory requirements of Section Law 2018-144 in order to ensure the efficient administration of unexpected special elections, is read a first time and committed to the Rules Committee. Representatives Murphy, Dobson, Lambeth, Potts, and White are recognized to send forth the Health Committee report. The clerk will read.
Representatives Murphy, Dobson, Lambeth, Potts, and White, Health Committee report. House Bill 70, delay NC Health Connect for certain providers. Favorable committee substitute, unfavorable reserve bill, and we refer it to rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
The original bill will be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas House Bill 70 be referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 250, Department of Health and Human Services revision, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable reserve bill, and we refer it to finance.
The original bill will be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the committee sub for House Bill 250 will be referred to the Committee on Finance. Representative Elmore, Horn, and Johnson are recognized to send forth Education K-12 Committee reports. The clerk will read.
Representative Elmore, Horn, and Johnson, Education K-12 Committee Report, House Bill 56, Arts Education Requirement, favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 56, re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 79, Academic Alignment Board of Education, favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 79, re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 117, School Calendar Flexibility Pilot Program, favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 117, referred to the Committee on Rules. Representative Cleveland Speciale are recognized to send forth the Homeland Security, Military, and Veterans Affairs Committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Cleveland Speciale, Home Security, Military, and Veteran Affairs Committee report. House Bill 50, allow hyperbaric oxygen therapy for TBI-PSD. PTSD, favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 50 will re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House. Representative Adams and Henson are recognized to send forth the Wildlife Resources Committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Adams and Henson, Wildlife Resources Committee report. House Bill 49, Responsible Deer Management Act, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable reserve bill, and re-referred to agriculture.
Original bill will be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the committee substitute for House Bill 49 will be re-referred to the Committee on Agriculture.
House Bill 208, credit for donating deer meat, favorable committee substitute, unfavorable reserve bill, and re-referred to finance.
Original bill will be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas committee substitute for House Bill 208 referred to the Committee on Finance. Representative Adams and Henson are recognized to send forth an additional Wildlife Resources Committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Adams and Henson, Wildlife Resources Committee report. House Bill 39, adopt Osprey for State Raptor. Favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 39, re-referred to the Committee on Rules.
House Bill 80, waterfowl hunting, Roanoke Rapids Lake, favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 80, re-referred to the Committee on Rules.
House Bill 98, Macon Clay, no right-of-way, spotlighting, favorable and re-referred to Rules, Calendar, and Operations of the House.
House Bill 98, re-referred to the Committee on Rules. Introduction of bills and resolutions. Clerk will read.
Representatives Belk, Black, Dobson, and White, House Bill 318, Opioid Prescription and Treatment Opt-Out Act.
Health, if favorable, insurance, if favorable, rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Representatives Meyer, Fisher, Harrison, and Brockman, House Bill 319, In-State Tuition Equity.
Education community colleges, if favorable education universities, if favorable appropriations education, if favorable appropriations, if favorable state and local government, if favorable rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Representative Stevens, House Bill 320, suspend child welfare aging component, NC families accessing service through technology, NC FAST.
Health, if favorable rules.
Representative Davis, House Bill 321, pilot project to treat opioid overdose.
State and local government, if favorable appropriations, JPS, if favorable appropriations, if favorable rules.
Representative Adams, House Bill 322, City of Carnova, Donut Annexation.
State and local government, if favorable finance, if favorable rules.
Representatives Faircloth, McNeil, Bowles, and Davis, House Bill 323, excess cost of local law enforcement officers, crime lab analysis.
Judiciary, if favorable finance, if favorable rules.
Representative Hastings, House Bill 324, Cleveland County Hunting Omnibus.
State and local government, if favorable wildlife resources, if favorable rules, counter operations of the House.
Representatives Dobson, White, Barnes, and Black, House Bill 325, update services to care plan requirement, adult care home residents.
Aging, if favorable health, if favorable rules.
Representative McGrady, House Bill 326, Hendersonville local option sales tax.
State and local government, if favorable finance, if favorable rules.
Representatives Zoka, Jones, Goodman, and Ray, House Bill 327, fees, return checks, loan processing.
Banking, if favorable rules.
Representative Speciale, House Bill 328, same requirements, official, early vote, and election day.
Elections and ethics law, if favorable rules, counter operations of the House.
Representatives Zoka, Arp, Hennig, and Warren, House Bill 329, exempt electric vehicles, stations, public utilities regulations.
Energy and public utilities, the favorable rules.
Representatives Zoka, Arp, Humphrey, and Ross, House Bill 330, Efficient Government Building and Savings Act.
State and local government, if favorable, energy and public utilities, the favorable rules, counter operations of the House.
Representatives Zoka and Arp, House Bill 331, Small Hydro Amends.
Energy and public utilities, the favorable rules, counter operations of the House. Messages from the Senate. Clerk will read.
Senate Bill 127, Committee Substitute Third Edition, a bill to be entitled Act to clarify state agencies' obligations to refrain from interference with the state employees' duty to report violations of state or federal law, fraud, misappropriation of state resources, and other governmental improprieties, and to make other changes to foster governmental accountability to prevent violations of state and federal law, fraud, misappropriation of state resources, and other governmental improprieties.
Senate Bill 127 will be referred to the Committee on Judiciary, Favorable Finance, and Favorable Rules.
Senate Bill 155, First Edition, a bill to be entitled an act to assess part of the cost of the court convicted offenders, the cost of local law enforcement crime lab analysis during investigation.
Senate Bill 155 will be referred to the Committee on Judiciary, Favorable Finance, and Favorable Rules, counter operations of the House. Representative David Lewis is recognized to send forth rules calendar operations of the committee, rules calendar and operations of the House committee report. House Joint Resolution 254, confirm Ken Goodman Industrial Commission favorable. House Joint Resolution 254 will be placed on the calendar of March 13th. Senate Bill 214, ensure orderly 2019 elections. Senate Bill 214 will be placed on the calendar of March 13th. Senate Bill 214 was reported favorably.